Praise the Lord. You know what dawned on me as I was saying this stuff that, you know, sometimes sometimes people might not completely understand what we mean by a spirit of wisdom and revelation and all things concerning God. You know, that those are some pretty churchy things that we say, but they do have quite a bit of meaning, you know. Of course, wisdom, we know wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. It's the ability to know what we're supposed to do. Amen. When we have the wisdom, you know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, and I think a lot of college graduates will prove this. That you can have a lot of knowledge in the world, but not a lick of common sense, amen? But wisdom will tell you how to take that knowledge and do something useful with it, amen? And that's when you get people that are successful. So we pray for wisdom, amen? We pray for revelation. What revelation is when you open the Word of God, and if you've been a faithful Christian for any length of time, you know this, that when you open the Word of God and something pops out at you, and you've read something 1,000 times, but this time you see it a little bit more, a little bit differently. You see it a little bit more. You start getting a little bit more of what God has, and you go, Eureka! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You have one of those Eureka moments, you know what I mean? And you're like, glory to God, I never saw it that way before. You know, I've had those in church. That's revelation. That's all it is. Revelation is just when something comes to you that you never saw before. It's like when you can see something in a different light. And you know, what a wonderful blessing it is, praise God, that he gives us that. You know, the Spirit of God works in us as we sit in church, as we go to church, as we read the Word, as we praise God, as we just live our lives towards him. The Spirit of God will work in us all the time, and he will teach us all the things we need to know. And that's why God is so good. Because, you know, when you really connect with God, now, you know, there's kind of caveat to this. And that's that you have to be willing to do the Word. And see, people can sit in church and it doesn't do them any good. I've said this many times. I know other ministers have said it, but sitting in church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than sitting in a garage makes you a car. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. Just because you're here doesn't mean anything. You know, sometimes people like to judge the work of God by some things that stupid Christians do. And you know, I understand how that goes. But the truth of the matter is just you can't judge God by everybody that comes in these doors. Because there's people that come in church doors for all different kinds of reasons. Sometimes people come for trouble. I mean, we just saw, you know, in the news that there was another shooting in another church. And I've been trying to look at the news less, praise the Lord, because it's me up too much, praise God. I just want to be stirred up with God. But so I don't even know all the details with it, but we know that those things ought not be. You know, people shouldn't be shooting up people anywhere, praise God. That's just not God's intent for us, amen. We need to be loving on one another. And if people would walk in love, if people would just simply learn God's love, we wouldn't have any of these issues. You see, that's the thing about this world. A lot of people don't realize if people put the laws of God to practice, if they put the scripture to practice, nobody would go without. Nobody would be hungry. Nobody would be poor. Nobody would be defeated. Nobody would be lost. Nobody would be on drugs. Nobody would be doing things that they aren't supposed to be. No husbands would be, or no wives, either one, would be cheating on their spouse. You would never have any, because God's law covers all that stuff. See, God's law was to keep us safe and to keep us going, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, God is good today. Amen? Well, that's free, no charge. Today's message is called, It's Working for You. Amen. You know, one of the things that came to me as my wife was actually up here talking with announcements, but one of the things that came to me was thinking about Christian hope. What is Christian hope? And this is what I heard in my spirit as I was sitting there. What separates us is that we have a perpetual hope. We have a perpetual hope. Now, perpetual hope does not mean that we hope it happens. A perpetual hope means that we, you know, the Bible, when the Bible talks about hope, it talks about it's an expectation. You expect that it's going to happen because you know you can trust the one who said it. Amen? Now, my wife and I, we have a great relationship. And if I say something to my wife, she generally knows that when I say it, I mean it. And then she can bank on that. Praise God. Now, if there's areas that maybe I've failed at a little bit, like, oh, I'll take care of that later. Praise God. Sometimes she knows that when I say I take care of that later, that my intent may be, but she may hope that I do, but that's not the same kind of hope that the Bible says. Her expectation, however, is that it probably won't. And so she ends up getting up and doing it, and then I get, you know, I get flustered because then she's up doing it, so I gotta take care of it, and then she gets it done anyways. And you understand? See, sometimes you just gotta know how to work the system. Amen. But the hope with God, and see, you know, I say that, and it's funny, and it's joke, and it's true even most of the time. But see, the thing about with God is, this is why so many people have a hard time believing God, because they're so accustomed to people failing in their expectations that they just automatically assume, well, God must be the same way. God, if it promises that, how can I bank on that? I've never had anybody come through me. See, that's just a plan of the devil. See, the devil works in even ministers. The devil will work in anybody that will allow them to work in, allow him to work in them. You know, but that's not what God's plan is. God's hope is not that we hope that it happens, but we have a perpetual hope that it is going to happen. And when Christians, when we get Christians to the place where they realize that God isn't just saying it, but he's backing it up, and that he will back it up, and he'll always back it up, when we start realizing that, then Christians start living differently. This is where you see a well-taught Christian go from being somebody who is depressed and not knowing where to go or what to do, getting into the place where all of a sudden, wait a minute. Why are they always so happy? Why are they always so positive? How do they always know what the outcome? How do they always feel that it's going to be a positive outcome no matter how horrible it looks? It's because of that perpetual hope that resides inside of us, amen, that only Jesus Christ can bring. And I'm so thankful for that. We know that we will that we will see eventually. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. And this is where a lot of people, it's in that eventually that a lot of people get tripped up. Because our expectations are, hey, drive through the Burger King drive-through and get it in 5 minutes or less. I mean, praise God. If we don't get it as we're driving through, we get mad, right? I remember, I've referred to this before, but I remember dial-up internet. Anybody remember dial-up internet? Amen. We couldn't deal with dial-up internet. If my phone lags for 2 seconds, I'm throwing a fit. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the way we are now. We've been accustomed to high speed and get up. Well, that stuff is good, but it can also be bad because we can't measure all things by the way our smartphones work. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Romans 8:28 in the Amplified. Why don't you look up here at it? I love this scripture. You know, I go to a lot, and you should love it too. Praise the Lord. We are assured. And no, you know, I was before I'm going to read this. I was reading something this morning. The most quoted scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The most quoted scripture. Isn't that amazing? The most quoted scripture talks about God's love and what he was willing to give. Is the most quoted scripture, and yet people still question God's goodness. They still question God's goodness and yet it's the most quoted scripture. Oh, praise God. You know, it's not bad to quote a scripture over and over as long as you don't just get into the habit of repeating it without knowing what it means. Let it get in your heart, get revelation of it. Praise God. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into the plan for good to and for those who love God. Praise God, that's a mouthful, isn't it? But I wanted to bring it out in the Amplified because we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God. That's what the scripture says. But in the Amplified, it expands it out. We are assured. We know. There's no doubt. If you're a Christian, you should be assured and know that everything that happens to you, everything that comes your way, it's going to work out for the good because you love God and you're called according to his purpose, his design. Praise the Lord. He's planned, he's made you who you are, and he's given you the ability. He's given you his Son. He's put it all inside you. He's packed it down in there. He knows it's going to happen. We need to know what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Why do I bring the scripture up now? Well, today we're talking about what I say we're talking about. It's working for you. We're going to be talking about trials today. We're going to be talking about things that people go through and the patience that comes along with it. We don't often like to hear that word patience, but patience is so very important to the people of God. Why? Because it's the lack of patience that gets us out of the plan of God. Stops us from following. I see people drop off like flies all the time. I have for years. Because they come so far, but then they get impatient. Well, I want things my way. I want them now. And see, because that's the way the world always teaches them. That's fine. Well, you just have it your way. You have it now. Then they don't want patience. They don't want to wait. They don't want to wait out the things of God. They don't want to wait until the good things come. Amen? You know, it's a lot different when you live in a society where you can go to the store and you can buy corn and not even think about it. But you didn't realize that somebody planted that corn, and then that same somebody waited for that corn, and then somebody went out and labored to harvest that corn, and then they brought it to the store. You see, it's so easy when in our society to lose sight of the truth of the way things work. But all good things don't come instantly, amen? Good things come over time. Good things come over time, praise the Lord. We're called according to His purpose. You know, I bring this up, the scripture up, because a lot of times people, Christians, they're like going, everything's going good. They think everything's fine. And then all of a sudden they feel like, you know, they're like, stuff is starting to go bad. And they're like, well, why is bad stuff happening? I've been going to church. I've been tithing. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And all of a sudden bad happens. But see, people get more wrapped up in what's going on and they forget that there's a process of time. And they forget the scripture. They forget that all things work together for them if they love God. And so if you love God, all things are going to work together for you. If you keep that mindset, then you look at the trial a whole lot differently. Then you don't just give up when the first bad thing happens. And that's what people do. I have seen the craziest simple things throw people completely off track. Yeah, and I was there myself. There was a time where something little would happen. It was the end of the world. Oh, I called my pastor. Pastor, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. My kid just acted up. You know something, my car just broke down. I just popped a tire. I just hit a deer, whatever. You know, people get so worked up over such little things. God gave us His Son. He'll give us all things, the Bible tells us. So we ain't got to worry about that. We ain't got to worry about what we don't have or what it seems like we don't have. What we got to keep our focus on is who our God is. Because when we keep our focus on who our God is, we know that it works out. Well, why do I say this? We started a Corey Church. We got to start a Corey Church in a hotel because we don't have the ability to go get a building right off the bat. So we started in a hotel. That's a cheap way of starting, but that was the direction of God. It's less than it's desirable to truck everything in every week and truck everything out every week, to set it up, to come in, and then also not knowing that every week you can be there. Because it's nice to know that we can come here. We take for granted that we can come sit in this church every single week. It's here. But see, if we don't take care of it, if we don't do our part, it won't be here forever. You know, we talk about the building fund and stuff like that. God gives us a space and time. There's even been examples where people haven't honored the gift, placed there enough, and He's pulled the pastor out of the church. How would you like that? If one day, all of a sudden, you know, I'll tell you what, giving in a church wouldn't be so hard if you woke up one morning and you couldn't come to it because it wasn't taken care of. Oh, that's good. I know, but it's the truth. Praise the Lord, we got to honor those things of God. How did I get on it? We're talking about the hotel church. And I'm bringing a point here because it happened yesterday. So yesterday we had to be off site because we couldn't be at that church, at the space where we normally have church. And so we had to be to a less than desirable spot. It was a little concrete hut in the middle of a park. Amen. And if you want to think that we had low visibility before, now we have even less visibility, amen? You know, this is probably a week that 15 new people showed up at the hotel, and we couldn't even be there, you understand? Because that's another thing. When you have a mobile church, it's kind of hard to follow that around, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But we went there, and we were going there in faith, and we weren't upset by it. You know, God's building, we know that, so we go there. But see, a lot of people, this kind of thing would trip up. It tripped me up when we first started this church. Because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how it was all going to work out. I didn't know. They gave us 4 months and that was it, you know. And, well, I would get frustrated. But see, God has a plan and purpose. All things work together for the good to those who love God. So if you just stay in that purpose, if you stay in that vein, it's going to work out. So stop fretting. Stop being upset. Just go with God, amen. Watch the blessing of the Lord come. So anyways, we're off site, which seems like a less than desirable thing last night, right? I think we've established that. Well, we show up to the space, and there's this man out there with his daughter, and there's a playground right outside the place. And, you know, my boys are talking to him. They were there first, and we got out. I said hi to him. We started setting up, and they were still out there, you know. And then my wife talked to him for a little while, and then I came out and talked to him for a little while. You guys never heard about our church before. Praise the Lord. And we had this great conversation. He was a real nice man and everything. And then his daughter and my daughter hit it off. And so they're running around playing, you know. And then she comes up and she's like, Daddy, can we stay for church? And he's like, a little bit reluctant. But he's like, yeah. And we were having fellowship too last night. Well, don't you know this man sat, he ended up sitting through church. And seemed like he enjoyed it. I preached, and it, you can tell when people either love it or hate it or are okay with it anyways. Praise God. And so it seemed like he was okay with it. But then he stayed and fellowshiped with us afterwards. And stayed, and we had. But see, this is the thing. If we had been like, we're off-site, and we'll just not have church tonight. You missed an opportunity just like that. And so you never know what door, like, it can look less than desirable for you what has to happen. Maybe something happens you got in a little car wreck or something. But that puts you in the place where you get to witness to somebody or you get to help somebody. Maybe in the dealership of a new car or maybe at wherever, it doesn't matter, at the garage, and you get an opportunity. See, you never know what's going to happen. And so, and not that God sends bad things our way, but when bad things happen, we have to have enough faith in us to not sit there and whine and cry like it's the end of the world. Right. We have to have enough faith to look different than the world, because it's the world. See, the world, whether you believe it or not, the world looks at us all the time thinking, what are they going to do next? Yeah. They look at the family churches all the time. What are they going to do next? Some people call us a cult. Why? Because we don't do things according to the way that all the other churches do. Yeah, thank you, Jesus is right. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, I had enough being one of the First United Frozen Chosen. If I can't get a preacher that can get up there and yell in my face, praise the Lord, I don't want it, amen. If I can't have a preacher that can preach the truth, glory to God, he's got to preach some kind of scripted sermon that's out of some religious person's book that doesn't even follow scripture. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. I preach the gospel every single week. My wife preaches the gospel every single week. That gospel is the only thing that's going to change your life. Your religion ain't going to change your life. I don't care what name you put on the door. I don't care if you wear a cross and get it tattooed all over your body. Put a cross on your forehead. I don't care. It ain't going to make you any more religious than the next guy. It doesn't make you any more, I should say, spiritual. You may be full of religion, but religion isn't what gets it done. Amen? Praise the Lord. Faith. The assurance that all things work for me gets me through every single time. Faith. What faith is? Faith is the assurance that all things work for me. That does not mean that God has caused all bad things. We have to separate this, and I have to keep throwing that out there because people will still grab onto that. God is not up there like a puppet master controlling all things. He is not doing that. But when bad things happen, they have to work for me because I'm a child of God. But they don't work that way for every child of God. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, how can you say that? I know that's what you were thinking. I can see it on your faces. Every single one of you just said that to me. Because there are some that call themselves Christians and aren't. There are some who call themselves Christians and never fully walk in it. Never walk in it at all because they choose not to. Just coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Reading your Bible does not make you a Christian. Calling yourself a Christian does not make you a Christian. See, a Christian, being a Christian is a very specific thing. It isn't just about worshiping some God and being some religion. It becomes a new identity. The Bible says that when we become a Christian, we become truly when we become one of His. Yeah. That we are born again. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. We are not the same as we were before. Listen, this country talks a lot about identity. These Christians need to understand that they need to identify with the one who rebirthed them, who created them anew, who started things all over again. Hallelujah. See, identity is a very important thing when you're identifying right. And Christians, we need to identify as Christ-like. We need to identify. We need to look and see. Jesus came to show us what we have, how we have access to it, and that we can have access to it. Jesus came to show us this. They wrote a book about Jesus to tell us what he did so we can know what we can do. Praise God. He didn't want to. He said, I've never left you nor forsaken you, he means I've done things that have ensured that you will walk out everything that I have given you, every ability that I have ever placed in you, everything I've ever said you could do or have. I've placed it on the inside of you. He gave us Jesus. Then Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to live with us forever on the inside of us, to guide us, teach us, and to remind us of what Jesus said. And then he gave us a church. Praise the Lord. He gave us the body of believers. congregate together. He gave us the ministry offices, which includes a pastor who sits with you every single week and feeds you the word and feeds you the word and feeds you the word. He gave us the everlasting gospel, the gospel that never changes, the gospel that is there day in, day out. You have it on your shelf collecting dust. All you have to do is open it up and see the promises and remind yourself of that. This is what our God, he's never left us or forsaken us. People all the time are like, where's God in all this? He's like, I was there. I was there on Sunday. I was there on Friday. I was there on Saturday night. I was there on Wednesday. I was there on your shelf when you wouldn't open it. I was there online on archives. I was there when you got your faith fix in your email or didn't get it, praise the Lord, depending on, you know, what kind of spam you get. Praise the Lord. I was there when I preached the word. I was there every single time. That's where I was giving you your answer. See, people are looking for their answers. They're looking to God like, God, where were you? He's like, I was there the whole time. He was there in this country when he formed this country. That's, again, we say, you know, we know that not everything in this country has been perfect, but that's because humans got involved in that. But when you look at the laws and the laws that God, the Constitution, and how it was based on the laws of God, and it gave us the same rights that God gave us. Listen, no other country has the things that we have. They don't have the things that we have. This is a God-ordained thing. So you have to understand there's important things. And when you understand that, God said he was there. He showed us, he's proved to us he was there. He's given us everything to be able to win. But see, for some reason, people think that if God isn't standing right before us, they think because they can't see him that they don't have him. But God did one better. I'll tell you what, it's nice to have God standing before you, but it's better to have God on the inside of you. He lives on the inside of us. And the Bible and church will tell us how, if it's a great church, will teach us how to access that and to hear from him. I hear from God every day. God speaks to me every single day. Every single day. Every time I preach, God speaks to me. God's speaking to you right now. How do I know? Because it's a message from heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, I was saying about Wednesday night message, if you got the slick text, I was preaching in Jamestown, that the Lord dramatically woke me up, had me pray about that, and then the next morning gave me the message, dropped in my spirit, and I preached that message. Praise the Lord. That was directly from heaven. God was setting us up to tell us how to get into more things that God has for us. See, that's the thing. People think, you know, you can't be a part-time Christian and then expect to have a full-time God. You can't do it. You can't be a part-time Christian and expect to, if you go to church once in a while and you just that's about the most of your God that you have, well, then you're going to have what you have. I tell people this all the time. I've sat in this office with I don't know how many people and counseled them. I sat in other offices and counseled people, and I say the same thing all the time. I said, if you hook up to the Word, if you do these things, if you come to church, you get serious about God, and you serve him, I was like, in 1 year, you will not recognize your life. And it's true every single time. But I've also seen people revert back from those things. Those same things. That's all it is. Listen, the only difference between me and somebody who fails, like I had the same snarfy life. I lived the same drug-filled, sex-filled, horrible life where I was out there doing whatever I wanted to do. I lived the same life, the same depressed life. The only thing that sets me apart is God. I recognize that. That's what keeps me going forward, is knowing that if I don't continue going with God, listen, there's days when I wake up and I want to get high. I'm going to tell you the truth. There's days when I want to get trashed. There's times when I see people partying all the time and not having a care in the world, and the same thing comes at me. What keeps me from doing it is the knowledge that that stuff causes death. And those who practice it, whether they call themselves Christians or not, are going to it's going to lead to death. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. You can't go against the things of God and expect God to still be there working in you. God can't work in people that don't work in him. Praise the Lord. But See, this is how I am. I praise the Lord. It's working for you. God is working for you. The trial, if you are right, if you think right about it, will work for you. It gets you through to the other side. It gets you into what you want. Praise the Lord. How do I know? Because it works in my life. And I was about the biggest failure there is. I can't imagine a bigger failure than me. in my natural life, the way that I was. I mean, I honestly can't. I'm not trying to, oh, poor me. I'm just telling you, I can't imagine somebody who made more bad decisions than I did. I can't imagine somebody who had more things fail that they tried than I did. It didn't matter what I tried. But I know this, that when I put the word to practice, my life works out. And when I chose not to, my life didn't. Praise the Lord. And so if you see people around you, once strong Christians, or maybe once churchgoers or whatever, things going right and now things are going wrong, here's your answer. This is why. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take it one step further, Christian. When you came in and you were excited, and then trials of life come, or things come up, or the summertime happens, or whatever, and all of a sudden maybe you're not as excited about it as you once were. And then you start seeing that maybe things aren't working out in your life as good as they once were. There's a reason for it. See, it takes faith to stay in faith. Yeah, it takes faith to stay continuing on the plan of God that He has for us. It takes faith to stay stirred up. It takes faith to watch. There's days I don't want to come to church. I understand that. But it isn't about what I want to do. It's about what I need. It's about what the people need. It's about what my family needs. It's about what I'm called to. It is not about what I want all the time. If it was about what I want, I'm telling you what I'd be doing right now. I'd probably be sitting at home watching something I shouldn't be watching, eating a bunch of ho-hos. Praise the Lord. Not going anywhere, probably smoking something, drinking something. Praise the Lord, because that's the way I live my life. I proved that. That's what I would be doing. I'm talking about in the flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have a pastor who's just sitting here thinking, man, I really wish I could go burn one right now. The only thing I want to do is go get high. That's the thing, you know, praise the Lord. I just like to pop me a couple of them and go. No, that's not it at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the flesh, though, always calls to those things. It always reaches out to those things. Amen? James 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. Actually, we are going to read 1, 2, 3, 4. Because we're going to read James 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hallelujah. But we're going to start in James 1, 2. Amen. You following me? Praise the Lord. My brethren. You got a brethren in here? How about sistren? You got any sistren in here? Glory to God. Sistren apply. Probably to you. I don't even know if sistren's a word, but I like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a praise God. Hallelujah. That's maybe one of my words. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's right there. Various trials. What's a various trial? I don't know. What happened this week? What's happened in your life? What's rearing its ugly head? James. One of the sons of thunder, if you heard Wednesday's message, the son of thunder, amen? Praise the Lord. The sons of Zebedee, he was a son of thunder. Why? Because he was a bold preacher. I like that. Bold preachers, amen? He was a son of thunder. I identify with that. I want to be a son of thunder. I wouldn't Jesus look at me and say, you're a son of thunder, hallelujah. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but I like it, amen? Praise the Lord. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't like trials, Jesus. James, I don't like trials. You know what James would have said? Who cares? I don't care if you don't like trials. Just count it joy. Yeah. Why? Why? Because you're goofy, right? Because you sold out to that goofy religious cult thing. No, because he's going to tell us why. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, people don't like patience. I don't mind patience. I just don't want to wait for it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But now look at this. Why do we need patience, right? That's why we have verse 4. Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work. See, patience produces a perfect work in us. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. People say, what do I got to learn from this? Sometimes it isn't about learning anything from that other than building patience in you. See, because what happens is when you patiently wait, this is what happens. Faith in God builds in you if you maintain it. So your inner man becomes, or inner woman, your inner woman or your inner man, whatever you like, whatever you have. Amen? And what you have is pretty clear, but we don't have to go down that road. But whatever you have inside you, praise the Lord, it will match what's on the outside of you, I guarantee it. Praise the Lord. So whatever you have on the inside of you, when you're going through a trial and when you patiently wait, knowing that all things work together for your good, praise the Lord, because you're a child of God, right? Got any children of God in here? Praise God. Anybody excited about God and what he's done for them? Amen. He's never left you, never forsake you. He gave you all the things to help you succeed. Yeah. Right? So that trial's happening, and God didn't send the trial, but the trial's happening. What's it producing? It's producing that faith in God, because you're sitting there going, you know what? Jesus said we're going the other side. And so you wait it out. I remember getting mad when the refrigerator quit. Now if my refrigerator quits, you know what I do? Go get a new one. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of faith. Jesus is working all things together for my good. And if I got to get a new refrigerator because the old one quit, well, praise the Lord, I got a new refrigerator. Yeah, that's the way I look at it now. Well, you say payments I can't afford. Yeah, I never could afford anything anyways when I was on my own. I never did. I mean, we lived paycheck to paycheck, and that wasn't even enough. We lived paycheck, got partway through, and we're like, I need another paycheck. You understand? But see, we don't live that way anymore. See, because faith rests. But see, what's happening in you is when you go through the trial and you learn how to patiently wait, as you put those things down, as you repress those feelings that say, oh, it's never going to happen here. It's all falling apart. You're never going to get to the other side. And it's also foolish because we get wrapped up in the moment. But here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I remember going through all that. And I still woke up every day. Yeah, I still woke up every day. And you know what? Year after year after year went by with me having nothing, but I still made it somehow. Amen. Didn't end. My life didn't end. I didn't lose everything. Somehow I made it through. You know why? Because the grace of God is still there even when I was being a fool. Even when I was dumb, the grace of God was still there working. Yeah. Praise God. See, this is what people don't understand. A lot of people say, oh, I don't need God. You think everything you got, every breath that every human draws is a result of God's goodness. So don't you ever think that you got something. Oh, I worked for you. You didn't work for nothing. Where'd you get the energy? Where'd you get the ability? Who designed your body? You didn't design it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God designed it to work. He designed it to work well. Amen. But see, patience has a perfect work in us. And as patience is having its perfect work in us, look at, we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, as we go through the trial and we learn how to go through it, see, there's a difference. You can go through the trial many ways, but there's a way, there's a godly way of going through the trial, and that's in faith. That's saying, I'm going to the other side. The trial is there, you can recognize that, but I'm going to the other side. Why? Because Jesus always takes us to the other side. Jesus didn't come show us that he's going to take us to the other side so the rest of us could fall off somewhere in between. He came to show us how to live, what you have to do, what you can believe, what you can get through. Look, there's nobody who had more things come against them than Jesus did. And he conquered everyone, not as God, but as man. He did it as man. Why do you think Jesus came in the flesh? To show us that it's possible. That when you're sold out to God, when you're connected to God, that there's nothing that you can't do. There's no mountain that will be before you that you can't wreck. Hallelujah. There's nothing, because you are God's. You are God's, you're his. You know what I'm saying? You're not like God's, you know. Somebody can take that clip out when I run for president and say, look, he said it. Praise the Lord. You know I'm not gonna ever run for president. There's too many pictures. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Dear Jesus, I'm glad that there wasn't smartphones when I was being stupid. I'm telling you right now, because I'm glad Facebook didn't exist when I was back in my snarf, because, whew, hallelujah. Patience wants to have a perfect work in you, and when you get through it, when you learn patience is enduring. It's going through the trial, not with the attitude that it's all going to fall apart, but I'm going to get there. And see, that's the thing. People think, well, how am I going to get to the other side? You will always go to the other side. And if you don't, then you can ask Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of us, most of us live longer than we live shorter. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's people that get taken out early, and that's never God's will. But you understand that most people live longer than they expire. You know, it's amazing what we can put the human body through, and it still exists. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you look at some of these people, you look at some of these musicians and stuff like that have abused their body and abused their body. I was thinking of one, Steven Tyler. He was in the news recently. This man is, I mean, he's older now. I think he's 70s. He's in his 70s now. And I'm not telling off on him. I mean, we're telling things that he's admitted to. I mean, that man abused his body. You know, you have people like Ozzy Osbourne abused his body. Bad. And it still is that resilient. That's God's design, is to be, you know what I'm saying? Not to abuse it and then to be good, but you understand. Yeah. The resilience, praise the Lord. If you know in your heart that things are temporary, if you convince yourself of that through the Word of God, which you can do really easily, then the trial, it looks different to you. When you realize that the devil's defeated, when he rears his head, it doesn't matter because he's defeated. You see, understand this, when the opposition comes against you, when it tries to take you out, when you realize that it's already done, when you realize that you've already won, and you say, but see, this is the thing. Trust God. Why do we trust God? Because we can't. And when you focus on what you can do in your flesh, you're going to always find that you're going to fail. You will always come up short. You think that you can? You can't. You think that you will, and you won't. But here's the thing, God can, and God works in you. That's why he defeated the devil, because we couldn't defeat the devil. We couldn't get over it. We couldn't get beyond it, but God did. And when God did, he made us be able to, because we take on his nature. We take on what he's put in us. We take it on. It's ours. It belongs to us. I don't know about you, but that's something to be a little bit more excited about than two people saying amen. That's something that the whole church should get up and start running around in circles saying glory to God. God has made you able. But see, here's the thing. People who sit there and say, well, I don't know about this, and people want to sit there and still be sad or still die and all this stuff, then you will never have what God has for you. It's only when you stir yourself up and you say, you know what? I'm tired of living the life that I lived before. I'm tired of doing what I did. I'm tired of going through the trial like a loser. Because that's what we do. We go through the trial like a loser, and God has made us victorious. He's made us more than conquerors, he said. He didn't just make you a conqueror. He made you more than a conqueror. There is no reason that a child of God should ever lay down and take what the devil's given them. There is no reason, but people do it all the time. Because somebody won't stand up there and be bold enough to tell them. And then people want it their way. They want to do things my way. I just want it to work out all the time. It's not going to. But if you think it's going to in the world, it's not going to anymore there either. You can have the world. You don't have to have church. You can have what's in the world. But I'm going to tell you, it hurts a lot more. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You're in James. Go down to chapter 5. Chapter 5, James 5, 7. Look what it says here. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. You be patient. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts means you get your heart settled that God is good and he's working it out for you. He's getting you through. He's going to take you in. Settle your hearts. Get it established. Let it be there. You have to get to the point. At some point, we have to stop saying that things are always not working for me. We have to start saying the Word of God is just true. That's it. It's just true. If it's in the Word, it's true. At some point, we have to make that decision. The more that we don't, the more we won't have. You will never see. This is the awesome thing about faith and the awesome thing about God, and this is what people like atheists always try to use against us. The things of God only work to those who work them and have patience. So you can sit there and say, well, I read the Bible once. You don't know anything. You know, there's fools that sit there and I hear fools all the time talking about, I'm not even going to call people out today. You know, I'm not even going to call people out like the former president of the United States. I ain't going to say talking about how the Bible talks about slavery. He didn't even know what the Bible says. Yeah, the Bible talks about slavery, but you have no idea what it's even talking about. You have to understand in context what the Bible is saying before you start spouting off of your mouth what you think it's saying. Yeah. See, that's the thing. You can't just claim that the Bible says this without understanding history, without understanding the Bible itself, without understanding God. You know, they talk about God. The Bible's full of genocide. The Bible isn't full of any genocide. The Bible is full of God protecting his people when other people are trying to destroy them. That's what God does. Why? Because that's what a good father does. And if you're a father and you wouldn't protect your family at all costs, shame on you. You aren't deserving of a family. That's exactly the way God was. When he destroyed people, it was because they were destroying his people and they were trying to stop. This is what people miss. They were trying to stop the bloodline from coming to Jesus because Jesus was the only way that the people of this earth could be saved, and the devil knew that. So the devil threw everything and everybody against them, and God had to stop that from happening, because if he didn't, then Jesus would have never come, and you and I would be spending eternity in hell with everyone else. That's the truth of the word. So you can say whatever you want about God being a genocidal God. Sometimes war is necessary. It's not because it's something that God even wants, but I'm going to tell you something. If someone brings it to your doorstep and you back down, then you deserve them to take what you got. That's exactly the truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, people get so mad about things, they don't even understand. You get people spouting off all the time about things they don't understand. The truth of the word in people, I'm going to tell you what, people start living a lot differently. First of all, you won't take garbage from nobody. Praise the Lord. You won't take it as yours, is what I'm saying. Second of all, what you'll do is you'll start loving people different than you've ever loved them before. Because I'm going to tell you what, telling somebody the truth is more love than just telling them to do what they want to do. Yeah, I can give you example of after example of after example of people who do what they want to do and they're causing death in their life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get me stirred up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit. The farmer waits. He's waiting for the right season to do it, the right season for the rain. You know what I'm saying? If a farmer went out and planted in February, he wouldn't get anything. He's got to plant it in the right season, and then he knows that the rain's going to come, and it's going to be in the right season. Hallelujah. People get into trouble when they move with impatience. I see this in the church all the time. People go make dumb decisions with their finances because they didn't trust God and wait for him to bring it. Yeah, you got to trust God and wait for him to bring it. He'll bring it in the right time when your character is able to carry it. But I'm going to tell you what, if your character ain't good, God ain't going to bless you. He ain't going to take you further. If you have a terrible character as a human, as a person, God ain't going to send you that perfect spouse. Why? Would you send your daughter or would you send your son who was perfect in your eyes to meet some person who wasn't going to live right? Who's going to treat him like garbage? Would you? No, God ain't going to do it either. Prove your character. Hallelujah. Would you invest in something if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I've got this investment for you. It probably won't work because everything about it is wrong, but I want you to put some money in there anyways. Would you do that? Heck no, you wouldn't. If you did, you're a fool. You deserve to lose your money. Yeah, absolutely. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived in that. Well, God isn't doing it either. He isn't investing. He wants his people blessed. God's plan is that every one of his people is rich. What is rich? More than enough. With enough left over to give into every good work. But I'll tell you what, people, when they have a dollar, they won't give, then he ain't going to give them 10 million because they won't give when they got 10 million either. If you aren't going to be faithful with the little, the Bible tells us that. If you won't be faithful with little, you won't be faithful with much, so you ain't getting it. That's the Jeff Michener paraphrase, amen? But that's the truth. Hallelujah. You have to be faithful with little. You got to prove that you'll do what's right, amen? On whatever it is, hallelujah. And people say, well, what about kids? Well, everybody gets kids. There's bad parents all over the place. I know this because I've understood this thought process. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Kids, although they are a blessing of God, you know, kid, the act of procreation is a natural act that God gave us. It's a natural thing. That's why people call it a miracle. It's really not a miracle. It's amazing. It's amazing how God designed it and how it works. And any person who honestly looked at how a baby is conceived and born would never truly believe in something stupid like evolution. Because when you look at it, and you look at how, and if you have a problem with that, talk to me afterwards. I'll go through a whole list of things that'll just show you how stupid it is. Because there's even a whole bunch of scientists that are always quieted. They're blacklisted as soon as they say anything. But there's a whole slew of scientists that, even if they're not Christian, they don't believe in evolution. They believe in creationism. But that's all thrown aside because you know, it's not popular. But it's just like everything else, amen? Well, glory to God, hallelujah, that's free, no charge. But there's the truth. You look at how a baby's born, it's absolutely amazing, but it's not a miracle. Why? Because it's a process that God put into nature to work a certain way. And so every time two humans come together, there's potential of a life there, amen? Praise the Lord, glory to God. If it's not ready, then it's not a blessing, it's a curse. I was thinking, as I was doing this message, I was thinking about those warnings you get on some menus. You know, have you ever seen that? The warning about eating raw or undercooked food. Yeah, I never heed those warnings because I like raw and undercooked food. I don't know what it is. I just do. I mean, I've never seen them in a sushi restaurant, though. Maybe I'm just not looking, but I've never been to a sushi restaurant. I love sushi. Love me some sushi. But I've never gone to a sushi restaurant and seen the warning. Maybe it's there. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm just because I'm always really excited about what I'm getting. You know what I mean? I'm just like, praise the Lord. But, you know, in general, the concept, the idea of it, you know, is that it's not good for you if it's raw. There are certain foods that if you eat them raw, they will kill you. You know what I mean? You have to cook them. They have to be cooked. Praise the Lord. Or they can kill you. Well, that's the truth. And so we have to understand that if it's not the time, if it's not prepared, if it's not cooked right, if it hasn't gone through that process, then it's not good for us. But see, the thing is, the process is found in the cooking. What do you find in cooking when you cook something? There's heat in the kitchen, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can put something in your mouth, not too soon afterwards, but I'll tell you what, you put your hand in that same oven that those brownies came out of, glory to God, and you ain't going to be happy. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a process when it's burning off that doesn't feel good. And that's the same way with us and patience and that time when the trial rears its head. When the cooking process happens and your faith is being tested, that's where that fire gets hot and you don't like the way it feels. But Jesus said, we'll take you to the other side. Jesus said, we can get there. Jesus said, we'll do it. Amen. Because when Jesus says it, it's true. We can get there. But see, this is the hope that people need. People out there don't have no hope. I'm going to tell you what. I talk to people out there and if you live in the world, I'm going to bring something up that you need to think about. You walk out those doors, you got one thing that's guaranteed. You could walk out that door. Do you know how many meteorites hit the earth in a year? Yeah. It's like amazing how many meteorites hit the earth in a year. You could walk out. This is literally like possible. You could walk out that door, a meteorite could fly right through your head and kill you instantly. Yeah. That could happen. If you're not a child of God. See, that won't happen to somebody who's serving God. There's a difference between a Christian, somebody who calls themselves a Christian, and somebody who's serving God. I will tell you one thing you will never read in the papers. Pastor Jeff walked out of church and a meteor took his head off. You'll never read that. How do I know? Because meteorites can't hit me. Because I'm surrounded with favors, with a shield, the Bible tells me. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you aren't guaranteed anything. Anything you do out there. I mean, I think about people, I think about death all the time. Not in a bad sense, but I think about it often. You know, people die. There's crazy stories of how people have died. I remember one musician that died eating like a ham sandwich or something like that. I mean, something so basic. Do you think that person thought that they would die eating that ham sandwich? They would never thought in their life that they would have. Now, kids, don't get scared because we got God, God's good, and he's going to protect you if you call on him. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about people that aren't calling on God to protect them. I'm talking about people that aren't faithful to God. There's no guarantees. You walk out there like there is no guarantees. And I'll take it one step further. Even if that doesn't happen, sooner or later, you are going to die. Sooner or later, you will cease to exist because that's just the way that happens with the flesh. And you got to ask yourself, am I sure of what happens afterwards? I'm going to tell you, it matters. It matters. People aren't so bold. I've seen people, and I've heard of people on their deathbed that aren't near as bold. I'll tell you what. I've been there at the place of death with many people, and I'm going to tell you what. Everybody gets soft when they're facing eternity. Right. Everybody gets soft. But see, here's the thing. You don't know when your eternity's coming. You better make sure of it beforehand. That's why it's important to get into it now. But see, this is the thing. God doesn't just have eternity for us. That's the most important. But he's got so much for us while we're here. Praise the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is most people die and don't know Jesus. And that's sad. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Just look at it up here because we're ticking away. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to tell you right now, as a Christian, going through this world and living in this world, there's sometimes where I get so fed up with everything that's going on that I am literally like at the point where I'm like, to hell with the world. Jesus, just come back, take us, and wipe everything else out. God is not like that. God is not slack concerning his promise, but he's giving everybody the space and time to repent. God lets them push it right to the limit. People out there are being fools. They're being absolute fools. I think about people that, like, I mean, I don't know how people don't think about their own mortality. I don't understand it at all. I don't understand how people don't consider what happens next. Because we're only here for a few years, give or take. And if you, again, if you're in the world, that isn't, there's no promise to that. You have no idea if you what will happen. You have no idea, right? We can have assurance as Christians, but you don't know otherwise. I remember living without God. I remember what it was like. Constantly wonder what's going to happen. You see somebody get, oh, so-and-so got sick again. I guess this is the way it happens. So, well, man, it matters. Hallelujah. And here's the truth. If anybody, even the worst critics, you know, we have books written by people who weren't Christians. There's one I think of that I just love this example. It's called A Case for Christianity. The guy was a homicide investigator in like LA or something like that. I think it was in California. And this man actually, he had no religious background. He had wanted nothing, but he was just tired of hearing Christians all the time. So he decided to start putting to test the facts, the things about Jesus, putting them to the test of a homicide investigation to see if there could be any proof at all if any of this stuff was true. Mind you, this guy was an atheist. Atheist, I said. He was a non-believer. He wasn't bent towards religion. The man now writes a book called A Case for Christianity. Guy's a born-again Christian. Why? Because when he put it to the test, it wasn't just some evidence. There was overwhelming evidence. I'll take you a step further. That DVD series we had out there. I just love that. But, there, I mean, it's out there, and you can get it all over the place. Nobody can refute it. It's out there for all the scientists in the world to refute. The Bible, it's called Creatures That Defy Evolution. This man that did this series, he was a scientist who was an atheist, and he actually, not only an atheist, but he actually taught Darwinian evolution in colleges. He was a professor, and he taught it in colleges, and finally some students brought him some creatures and said, hey, look at this. What do you think about this? And as he started studying it, he started realizing more and more the absolute impossibility of evolution. A man who taught it, and today, a born-again Christian. Teaching, we're making videos against it. See, this stuff's out there because there's truth to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's free, no charge. I don't know why I get in on that, but see, that's good for Christians too, because we got to take that to the world and say, listen, all this stuff, just because people say that it's true doesn't mean that it is. Back it up with something. Back it up with something. Glory. Hebrews 12:1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, we're going to read through verse 17. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. This scripture is something we need to meditate on. Therefore, since we are surrounded, there's people watching. The great cloud of witnesses, it's in heaven. Those who have gone before us that went to heaven, they're watching us, rooting us on, saying, hey, run your race. We have to understand that this life is not just about working, raising a family, having some nice things, and then dying. If that's what your life is the most shallow life possible. If that's what your life is, you are so shallow, it is ridiculous. There's so much more to this life. There's so much more to this life. Praise the Lord. Let us lay aside every weight. How many weights? Every weight. Anything that stops you from running after God with everything that's possible, lay it aside, because it's in the sin which so easily ensnares us. Notice that. It so easily ensnares us. Sin easily ensnares people because it's easy to jump into sin. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Your soul is your mind. You want to not be discouraged? You want to not be weary? This is how you do it, Christian. You consider him who paid the price. You consider what he went through. Praise the Lord. When you want to give up, when you don't know if you can press through, when you don't know if it's just harder to be a Christian, consider him who endured such hostility. Think about what happened to Jesus. The man was perfect. They beat him, they spit on him, they whipped him, and the Bible says until you couldn't even recognize him as a man. He had every disease, every sickness, every sin that every man ever committed was laid on Jesus on the cross. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he was not discernible as a human at that point. You understand, he went through some stuff. You haven't gone through that yet. So every time you get discouraged, think about him. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. See, this is why, because when Christians get off, when they get off in their thinking, it's because they've forgotten who they were. Look at this. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. This word chastening, I had to look this up, because this word chastening is one that I like to skirt around a lot. Because I'm not one of those people that believe that God beats up on people. Now, God, you know, it's good, right and good that a father corrects their child. If you're a father of a child, you need to correct your child. And sometimes you need to correct your child harshly. Listen, if your child is walking off the edge of a cliff and you got to throw him down and beat him to keep him from going off the edge of the cliff, well, that's what you need to do. But it's better than the alternative, isn't it? I mean, isn't it? I'll tell you what, I would have sooner been beaten than fall off some of the cliffs I was walking off of. I'm telling you right now, looking back on my life, I thank God. I thank God for his grace and his goodness. But there was times, I'm telling you, there's times I needed it. Praise the Lord. A chastening, it means to nurture. It's instruction. Chastisement. Now look at this. The whole training and education of children. The whole training. This is what chastening of God is. He deals with us as with children, as his children. So if he chastises us, he's training us and educating us, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions, now reproof and punishment, also includes the training and care of the body. Whatever in adults also cultivates the mind, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. See, passions aren't always good. When you're passionate about something, if you're passionate about the wrong thing, I know people that can't keep their hands off people. Yeah, that's a passion. Now, passion isn't always a good thing. Listen, you need to learn how to keep your hands off people. You need to learn how to not touch everybody, because you can't touch. If you're married and you've been raised in a way where you can just touch everybody and have it your way and do whatever you want, then what do you think you're going to do once you get bored with your spouse? It's the same thing. Well, praise the Lord. That's why we call dating divorce practice, because that's exactly what it is. It teaches you how to like a guy or a girl for 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes, give them up, and move to the next one. And you can do whatever you want. You can play house. You can play marriage by kissing them and doing all this other stuff. But all you're doing is setting that child up to fall. All you're doing is setting that child up to stumble in the relationship. Because listen, I didn't learn anything by kissing any other woman about kissing my wife, because she kisses me different. I like the way she kisses. Amen? Praise the Lord. You don't learn stuff by practicing. You know, some people have this foolish thinking that you got to practice. That's just the devil. Yeah. But somehow that same thought process has gotten to the church like it's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why we don't allow touchy-feely in youth group and stuff like that. Why? Because it's not right, and that's not the place for it. No, glory to God. It also includes training, care of the body in adults, cultivates the mind by correcting mistakes and curbing passions, instruction which aims at increasing virtue. Praise the Lord. Of the evils, chastening of the evils with which God visits men for their amendment. God wants us to get rid of the evils, because those are the things that ensnare us and keep us from walking out in his highest and best. Okay. We're going to continue on here, because I got a lot more, not a lot more, but we're fixing close here. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so you understand, take that into account, all what that means. And this is what whom he loves, he chastens. And scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You're not my son. I don't chasten you. I don't correct other kids, even though I want to sometimes. Oh, I'll tell you, there's been lots of times where I got to be careful what I say, because I'm also a pastor now, and people hold stuff against me. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of kids out there that need to be corrected. I'll tell you what, a kid that talks back to their parents, they need to be popped one. Kids don't need to be talking back to their parents. Yeah, because I'll tell you what, they talk back to their parents, and then they talk back to authority. And then they don't respect teachers. They don't respect principals. And just ask a teacher sometime how good this let your kids do whatever they want is working in schools. Oh, just ask them. Oh, yeah, kids are doing whatever they want to do in schools. I don't need to listen to you. Whack! Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just let, yeah. I'm going to tell you what, my kids, is there any doubt in any of your minds that I love you? Where are you? All three of you right here. Any doubt in your mind? And they're not just saying that. Is there any doubt in your minds that I love you? Would you ever just mouth off to me and call me a fool or call me anything like that? Would you dare do that? Why? Because you know what would happen, right? Hallelujah. See, I don't have to do it. I don't beat my kids. I can't even tell you the last time I spanked my kids. I don't need to. Why? Because I did it. Yeah. I don't have to cross that line many times before they realize, wait, ouch. You touch a hot stove, you're going to get burnt. Well, Dad, if you call him a name, it's going to be a hot stove. Amen? Praise the Lord. Kids need to have respect. There was a day, I remember, and I was just raised, and I wasn't even raised with that many whoopings or anything like that, but my mom raised me with respect. You know, I remember walking into hills, and I couldn't walk through a door. I could not walk through a door. Adult. Could not walk through. I would sit there. Mom would turn around and look for me, and I'm standing there holding the door, and one adult after another, because back then, a lot of people shopped at hills. Hills were where the toys were at. You know what I mean? Remember that? Yeah. That's not what they were there. That's why I was there. But, you know, the hills was the place to be. Remember those slushies? And we talked about this before. The bok bok chicken. We talked about that, right? The chicken you put in quarters and bok 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 bok. Remember that? I love that chicken. We got to get me one of those. We should have one of those at the church. Yeah. Have one of those out there. We'll put stuff in the eggs and then we'll sell the eggs and we raise money and build windows and doors and stuff. Praise the Lord. We'll put it outside or something. But you sit there and hold the door because that's what you do. You know, the Bible says that you stand before a person with gray hair when they come in the room. Yeah, we need to have respect. That's why we tell our kids, you can wait for 5 minutes and let the older people go through the line first and eat. Yeah, because you got plenty of time to grow. They might not have. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That was a joke. You know what I mean? That was just a joke. Praise it. No, it's called respect. It's respect. We have respect for people. Why do they deserve respect? Because they've been here longer. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where was I? Verse 8. I thought it was farther than that. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Partakers. He wants us to partake of what's his. Praise God. Now no chastening seemed joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people. This is what the Bible says. Pursue peace with all people. And holy. Now, pursuit of it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you pursue it. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is an important thing. We still need to teach it in churches, because if you're not holy, you ain't going to see the Lord. Amen? Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I wanted to get here. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. He was hungry, so that controlled him, and he didn't consider the effects of it. See, when we want something so bad, I got to have it now, you don't consider what all the ramifications are of having it. You need to take this in. I wasn't just looking at you. I looked at you, but I just realized. You need to. No, you need to take this in. We have to understand that there's ramifications to this. Now look at what happened to Esau. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. There'll be people that stand before the Lord on judgment day and say, Lord, but Lord, but Lord, because everybody will kneel and everybody will bow before him. It's better to do it now, I'm telling you. But everybody will kneel before him and everybody will bow. And they'll say, but Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, I didn't know you. Yeah, that's going to happen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, and here, Galatians 6:9 in the Amplified. Look at this. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint and acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we what? Shall reap. We're going to get a harvest of the things. Those things could be bad. Those things could be good. It just depends on what kind of seed you're sowing. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint, we can't faint, Christians. When the trial comes, you can get through it because God made you able. And you got to start speaking it. You got to do everything within you to get into that. Because God wants to see us through to the other side. When we're chasing, when we're dealing with things that don't seem like it was what was due us or was fair to us, we deal with it anyways because God is good. And we know that we can go to the other side of it. We know we can get through it because God is good. And God has made us able. And when we do, it's a testimony. It helps other people. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're after, are we not? I don't know about you, but all I want is testimonies. When I get somebody who gives me a testimony, I want more. I want one more. One more. One more. One more. I tell you what, I want another Denny and Becky in here. Praise the Lord. I want another Josh and Rachel in here. I want another Lashbrooks in here. I want another Bob and Chris in here. Another Gitchards in here. Praise the Lord. Another, all of you in here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not just like, you know, I could say everybody and I'm not going to. But you understand what I'm saying. We want more testimonies. We want more people. We want more people to see the goodness of God. Because you all have. Praise the Lord. God is good.